So,
Shide.
can I start with you? Tell listeners about the event that's planned tonight at CU Boulder.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. This particular event, our focus is more about how we in America and also our elected officials, how we can provide support for this woman-led revolution in Iran. This movement, well, it's as far as we know, the first woman-led revolution that is asking for bodily autonomy. And this is an ongoing horrible situation that is happening in Iran. It's beautiful at the same time, and it's also alarming and dangerous. What is our role? What is our responsibility? Why should we care about this movement to at least make it more costly for Iran's government to continue the execution of our Iran's youth and also across all ages and races?
Shaheen, will you tell us who is speaking at the event and how did it come together?
We have elected officials and university administrators and faculty at this event, and our goal is to draw on their expertise in terms of brainstorming ways that we can all sort of take action and participate in supporting the movement. So it was important for us to have local representation as well as ideally state representation. And so Governor Jared Polis will be there for some remarks. And then on the panel, we have Mayor Brockett, we have Councilmember Speer and Councilmember Shahrazai from Lakewood. And we have the provost of CU Boulder, as well as professor and chair of the Department of Geography, Jennifer Fleury.
Is it challenging to get Americans to understand what it's like to live in a non-secular democracy where there's no separation between church and state?
You know, I think in some ways the US is a secular democracy. In many ways, I don't think it is. And it seems sort of a affront to governance and system where church and state are deeply intertwined, but maybe not overtly and not explicitly. And I think depending on who you are, you feel the burden of the oppression that comes as a result of that in the US in different ways. So if you're a racial minority, it means something different. If you're a woman, it means something different. If you're trans, it means something different. In Iran, I think the difference is that patriarchy of the government, it is overt and it's explicit. And in some ways, that allows for there to be more solidarity and sort of transparency to that system in Iran. So, you know, a lot of people in Iran see that. They understand the oppression that they're experiencing, and they work together to, you know, navigate that. In the US, I think there's this funky challenge where, depending on the privileges that you carry, you may or may not realize how the lack of separation of church and state functionally oppress. And so something that's, I think, a little bit more sinister in the US is this kind of lack of ability to achieve that kind of solidarity. So I think addressing them and navigating them, it seems more tricky for me than it does in Iran.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Shaheen just said. It when I think about, well, I just the women's rights side of the story. Iran is such a complicated country, full of contradictions. There are some really extreme rules that have been in place for, you know, generations. For example, when you go to Iran, as soon as the airplane lands, it's announced that it's the law of the land that women have to get up and get their scarves out and they have to cover their hair and bodies. None of us, you know, wear the hijab or practice Islam in that way. Many of us don't. And then, well, you can, if your hair is showing, you can go to jail. I have been to jail multiple times because my hair was showing or I was wearing, you know, sunglasses that I wasn't supposed to wear and the morality police didn't like it. When you enter a bus, you're delegated to the back of the bus as a woman. You're not supposed to sit where the men sit. There's so many things. You know, a woman doesn't have the right to get a divorce and doesn't have the right to my custody after the divorce. At the same time, this we're dealing with a highly sophisticated, educated, and wise group of women who live in a country where there is very extreme rules against them. Even in the cabinet of the most radical president, you know, his cabinet has a number of women, and you know, in the universities, more than 50% of the university population are women. So this is just really a matter of time for this revolution get to a point of changing the system.
Many Iranians who live abroad can sometimes be hesitant to speak out against the government there, especially if they make frequent trips back and forth to visit family. Why are the two of you deciding to speak out, and why are others speaking out?
I can go first. It was a difficult decision. We go back and forth. We know that, you know, by going public, giving out comments, arranging events or protesting, we cannot go back. So that was a decision we made. We see that 10-year-olds are going out dying to defend their rights, freedom of speech, thought, religion, bodily autonomy. You know, it seems ridiculous for us to care about our safety here in the U.S.
That still seems like a difficult choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in many ways it was. I mean, we're also partners in life. So the conversations for this were really, I think, challenging, but also obvious and quick. And I think early in this movement, maybe weeks into it, people had this sense that this is something different. This is something that might, you know, this might be the thing that topples this regime. And so just talking with friends, there's a sense of like, if not now, then when? Like, this is the time to do it. And this movement needs all the support it can and any relatively, I'll say for myself, relatively minimal sacrifice.
Yeah, I'll just add that there are many. There are so many people are organizing and they're sacrificing their ability to go back. It's just very different this time.
You know, I'm reminded of Rebecca Solnit has this really good book, Hope in the Dark, and she talks about social movements and revolutionary social movements and how they succeed. And she has this analogy of sort of like a rhizome, like mushrooms. And there are many things that go into the success of a revolutionary movement that aren't all visible. They're sort of like below the surface. And then some event happens, like, you know, it rains. And then you have this mushrooming and the thing becomes visible and legible to all of us. I think, you know, showing up to movements, participating in teach-ins, organizing awareness, forwarding things on, you know, social media accounts, following hashtags, amplifying in any way that we can think about and educating and informing people about this movement translates to things that, you know, are sort of like the growth of this rhizome.
Is there anything else that you want to add or you think people should know?
Just very quickly, I wanted to, you know, emphasize that this is not something that Iranians or Iranian Americans are asking as a favor from our American allies. We think our struggle is your struggle. We have a lot in common. There is so much inspiration that can come out of this movement. It's such a beautiful movement. It's incredible. You know, you should see the way middle school girls even are going out and risking their lives, even younger than that. And, you know, the images that are coming out, the bravery, and that freedom is going to serve everybody. I think it's worth your support. There are a few things that are time sensitive. The most time sensitive one is that there are more than 16,000 individuals that have been arrested, many of whom are children, and many of them are university students. They are facing a grave danger of being executed, as recently signed in a letter by the parliament. So 16,000 amazing individuals, and anything you can do, any form of solidarity, signing us any documents or pressuring our elected officials not to deal with Iran's government to give them more power, for example, the nuclear deal, anything like that will be invaluable, will mean the world to us.
I've been speaking with Shaheem Rudbari and Shide Dashti.
Both are associate professors at CU Boulder and are helping to organize an event called Women, Life, Freedom, Supporting the Iranian Women's Revolution. It's taking place on campus tonight at the Old Main Chapel from 6 to 8 p.m., as well as online. You can find links to the event registration and the live stream at news.kgnu.org. Thank you both for speaking with me today.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.